I want to thank John. You can tell why I asked him to give that presentation. He's a very skilled speaker. And so this isn't a presentation. I'm going to be a facilitator, and we're going to enter into an interactive discussion about the strategic plan, the draft strategic plan that's been created by the steering committee that Ellen introduced you to. Before we get started, I just want to see a show of hands. How many people in the room have been involved in developing strategic plans in the past? Okay, so it's a majority. So I don't have to spend a lot of time on some of the slides that I have, because I want to get to the meat of what we're doing here, which is a discussion about the draft plan. And I need to put on my reading glasses. I can see you guys really great, but I can't see the buttons on my shirt. So before we get started, we have a few ground rules. Okay, this is a consensus building process. There's no right answer. Everybody's got their opinion. Everybody's ideas are valuable, everybody's ideas need to be heard without judgment. We're going to do wordsmithing offline, whether it should be or the or but or not or, we'll wordsmith later because we have a very limited amount of time. As we get into this discussion, no sidebars, no cell phones. And if you can't live with these ground rules, you get the boot, okay? What do we want the outcomes of the workshop to be? First of all, we're going to present the draft of the steering committee's plan, and we want to gain your input. What are your ideas? Everything is still in draft form. That's very important to remember. Nothing is etched in stone. Okay, this is a first take. And the other thing we want to do, and Ellen sort of blew this when she passed that sign-up sheet around, we want to recruit you into the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture. We're trying to create a new organization. Okay, we're not going to be the Consumer Horticulture and the Master Gardener Working Group. We're not going to be, the steering committee. We're going to be the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture. And it's real important that we have, as an organization, that we build on what's been started and that we get you guys here to form the core of the next phase of building this strategic plan. So a lot of you have been involved in strategic planning processes. Just want to go through a few of the basis. Strategic thinking is a process of coming to consensus about what will constitute success over some time periods in the future. We want to establish a clear direction, guide the allocation of resources, and it will provide focus and alignment. Consensus, we talk about consensus all the time. Ideal consensus is where everybody in the room agrees. Everybody in the room agrees with everything that's been said, and we can all leave here without, any questions at all. And we all know that's never going to happen. So what we want to achieve is practical consensus. And you can see the definition there. The minority is willing to go along with the majority view because it serves everybody's needs. All right, it's not perfect, but it's good enough to move forward. And so this, I think, when no one objects to an idea so strongly that they are unwilling to go along with that idea, at least this time, for now, okay? It's a draft. It's going to change. Everything will change. And that's to me, that's the beauty of strategic planning. It's never done. It's always active. It's always proactive. We have to be involved in the whole process. So one of the things that the steering committee had to come to consensus on initially was, what is consumer horticulture? And so this is the definition that we came up with. Consumer horticulture is the cultivation, use, and enjoyment of plants, gardens, landscapes, and related horticultural items to the benefit of individuals, communities, and the environment. And these activities rely on the understanding and application of the art and science of horticulture. So that's what we are all about. We are horticulturists. Okay, and consumer horticulture is a specific subset of what we do. We went further to say, what are gardens? Gardens encompass the growing of all plants, whether one or many, indoors or outdoors, and include ornamentals, edibles, natives, and crops. Landscapes encompass the integration of essential features of larger gardens with horticultural items to create artistic environments that are shared across the community. We all understand intrinsically what landscapes are, but these are what we came up with to help us move forward in our discussions. And horticulture-related items encompass the tools and technologies that benefit gardeners or promote a greater pleasure of gardening itself. These include garden sculpture, structures such as sheds, patios, hardscapes, masonry, water features such as ponds and fountains. Now, we talked a lot about the tools, but we didn't talk in this definition a lot about the technologies. But and I made some notes, so like soil test kits, pH meters, applications that allow people to do disease diagnostics and stuff like that. And I know the master gardener coordinators in this room, over the last several weeks, there's been a lot of chatter about a private company that created an app that tags into the Ask the Expert function of Master Gardeners. Well, what if the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture were to team up with Master Gardeners across the country and create an app, and you get advertising space that provides an income for the initiative so that we can have an organizational structure, et cetera. So we can create partnerships between what already exists, the Master Gardener Coordinators, and what we're trying to create in this national initiative. The established, and this is gets a little bit more in depth, is that the establishment and care of gardens and landscapes require services, arborists, turf grass care providers, landscape and nursery professionals, and others, and it creates a need for a consumer that's knowledgeable about the cost and skills required to provide these services. So the fact that that exists and that gardeners and landscape users rely on those services, they have to be educated about what those costs are and what those services can provide. So I want to stop here and open it up for discussion. Is there anything in what you've said or what you've seen here that you really have heartache with, that you can't, heartburn, not heartache. I have heartache a lot. But anyway, come on, this is interactive. Anything that you see in what we've presented here that you can't live with? Yes?
I can live with them for what you have, but I'm also reflecting on what Charlie Paul spoke about this morning. Great presentation and talking about, horticulture and plants and their economic benefits, their ecosystem benefits and health and well-being.
Yep.
And maybe I need to read that a little more closely, but it's not jumping out at me as I look at the verbiage here.
Okay. Well, let's keep that thought. And we have note takers. Lucy, Bradley, and Ellen are taking notes. And I think one other?
Sherry.
Okay. And so as we move forward, another show of hands. How many folks have had a chance to visit the Consumer Hort website and look at the plan online? Few people have. Okay. Not as many as I had hoped. So this is online. If you go to consumerhort.org, The National Gardening Association stepped up and reserved that URL for us. So that's going to be our website. Okay, that's going to be where we put the plan. That's going to be where we have our activities. We're going to populate that website with everything that goes on in the creation of this organization. So they have a center downstairs where you can get online and access stuff, just consumerhort.org. If you do a Google on National Edition for Consumer Horticulture, it comes up first on the list. I thought that was pretty impressive. Ellen said, well, it just shows that there's not much on the web about consumer horticulture. But, yes, sir? What are other partner organizations? So let's just, when you're going to speak, if you just say your name before you start, then that'd be great. Well, right now, if you look at the steering committee, we've got the National Gardening Association. Mary Gaetani used to work for Gardener Supply. She also works with the American Society of Community Gardens. Casey Sklar is the group that represents Arboretum and Public Gardens. So we're trying to, and Penny McBride, she works with an organization in Jackson, Wyoming on vertical farming. Mark Broxson is Proven Winners. We invited other commercial entities to be involved, but those guys have very little time. Mark Broxson, as an example, was only able to participate actively in conference calls one or two times, but he's stayed engaged through the email exchange. So those are like commercial partners, but we want, like I said, the master gardeners, academia. We have Margaret Pooler as AARS. Economic Research Service can also be involved. State Departments of Agriculture. It's a wide net. Okay, so that's what we're trying to cast. But you guys are, to me, you guys are the core. You deal with this. This is your profession. You deal with this on a daily basis, and so we want to recruit you in because we think that the expertise that's in this room is going to form the foundation of a really vibrant plan. Okay, so yes.
Pam Bennett with Ohio State University. I often struggle with consumer horticulture because we know consumer and commercial and the difference. And I often wonder when we put that out there, does the public know? Do they get what consumer horticulture is? And is there a better word? And I've never been able to come up with one in my own mind. But I really struggle with that.
So can everyone hear what she was saying? Yeah, okay, I see the people in the back nodding, so that's good. And so the concept was, is consumer horticulture really the term that represents the difference between commercial horticulture and what we're trying to do? And Bridget is shaking her head. Go ahead. Plants.
I enjoy plants. I interact with my plants. I like my herbs. It's very plant focused, but not gardening, not being a gardener, and not horticulture.
Yes.
Sarah Wallace, public horticulture student at Oklahoma State University. I am a 10-year gardener. I've done all the different self-taught natural information, and I didn't even know what public horticulture was. Now working at the Botanic Garden at Oklahoma State University the past 2 years, I interact with the public daily, and that is a huge issue. No one knows what horticulture is.
Uh-huh.
Even doing scholarships, trying to find horticulture, it's sort of like a stepchild of agriculture. And so no one really knows, I would agree with everything you guys have said, because a student doing it, being in any gardening, I did not even know the field for that, and I can interact with
Mary.
So this is why we need a strategic plan. So we know we got a lot of problems. So is this plan an internal document or an external document?
So, that's a great point. And it's going to be an internal document as we develop it. But once we get, a full draft, because as we go through this, you'll see, we don't have a full draft plan. We started in April, and we were supposed to be done by the end of June, and then life happened, and we didn't get done until a couple weeks ago. And so we didn't really get as far down the path as we wanted. But it's going to be something that the organization uses to move forward and engaging with all of those critical decision makers and the constituency that we're trying to serve as we move forward. So that's the ultimate purpose of having a plan, is that it is becomes sort of the centerpiece as we move forward. Bridget, you look a little bit skeptical.
Well, I think internal, yes,
Everybody's skeptical at the beginning of a plan. I mean, that's the way it goes, and that's good. Skepticism is good. You don't want, you know, we're not here to drink Kool-Aid, okay? We're here to work, and we're here to make a plan, okay? All right, so let's move forward. So this is the process that I learned, you know, and I've taken some classes on strategic facilitation and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But so this is the framework that we used, and we have, you know, it starts out with the envisioned future, with the vision statement, mission statement, the core values, moves into assumptions, and we have a whole list of assumptions. If you go to the website, you can look at those, and you may disagree with some, you may want to add some, but we don't have time here this morning to really go into those. And then it's the development of the goals and the objectives and creating an organizational structure, which we're not there yet. You know, that would be really the next big step, I think. And then developing the strategies and tactics that are going to help us achieve those objectives. So I just want to walk through the core purpose, the mission. Okay, you can read all that other stuff, but it's a very concise statement that identifies why an organization will exist for the next 10 to 30 years, hopefully longer than that. Okay, so that's what the mission statement is. And given that background, given that definition, this is what the steering committee developed as the mission of the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture: growing a healthy world through the art and science of gardens and landscapes. Comments?
Well, that's good.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
It's good, Brad, to add plants, because I think we need a keyword for growing something, but I think plants somewhere in there might be unique here.
That slide is not plants.
What's that?
The slide dropped the word plants.
Yeah.
The website has the word plants in the
Oh, plants, gardens, and landscapes. Okay. So that goes to the point that what Bridget was talking about is that most people don't think of themselves as gardeners. It's the plants that's really important. So we want to make sure that we get that back in there. Yes? Through the art and science of plants, gardens, and landscapes, or through plants and the art and science of gardens and landscapes? Well, okay, that's a wordsmithing issue. What the main idea that we need to get captured is that plants has to be in that mission statement. Yes. Do you have a suggestion? Just a question. Okay, so you posed a question. Is this put too much emphasis on a healthy world? Is there something else that we want to emphasize?
Fun?
Yeah,
I think healthy is a broad term.
Yeah. I mean, health is, it's not just the healthy body, it's a healthy communities, it's a healthy world, you know, it's everybody loves each other and, you know, gets along, you know. Nobody's sick. Good question, though. Yes?
Tim wrote us on how to say, you have a mission statement that's being looked at in Pixar or F2. Then you have another section on goals.
Right.
And in goals, you have goals: healthy, connected, strong communities.
Right.
You've got other words in other places.
Right.
Mission can't carry everything.
No, and that's a good point, Tim. The mission statement is this big, unbounded statement that it's, you know, it's sort of externally true. You know, it really is just for the initiative itself. It might not mean anything to anybody else, okay? But it will be seen by others, and so we need to make sure that it's got the key elements. Are there any other key elements that we need to include in this mission statement? We want to make sure it plants in there. We can't define every word in it. As we move through the plan, we'll see some of that definition coming into focus. Okay, so I'm gonna move on then. Ellen, do you have something? No. Okay. She's trying to be quiet because she had a lot of input into this at the initial stages. Yes?
Hi, Brittany Hunter, Utah State University. So I just was thought if it is, if this is the mission of the coalition that you're talking about, should it reference the people that are involved, the, you know, industry leaders working to gather to grow a healthy world, or, you know, engaging with each other to grow a healthy, you know, yada yada.
So the question is, should the mission statement sort of identify the who the participants are? And I see shaking heads out there.
Gary Knox, University of Florida. I disagree. I think it should be broad and open so that anybody can feel that they can participate in this.
We had a great reception at the State University. I just think getting the word people or something related to that in there somehow, so that this is not directed toward ecosystems and all of that, and it doesn't really involve people in there, but this is something that's engaged by people, whoever those people might be. Maybe people isn't the right word, but that this is focusing on people doing this and not that we're trying to say penguins. directed for human activity involved in this.
Okay. So we could say the mission might be bringing people together to grow a healthy world, something like that?
Mohammedi for the university. Can we add growing a healthy and peaceful world?
Peaceful? We'll capture that. Other comments? Bridget, Dead Tim?
I'm wondering if we can put something in there about facilitating or helping people to achieve growing a healthy world. I'm trying to think about priming the pump so that individuals would see an opportunity that this is going to help me achieve that.
Yep.
No,
that's fine. And you know, we still have the steering committee, and what we want to do, as I said, we want to recruit people. So what I envision happening would be that we'd create a small work team around the mission statement. And so those people who are interested in making sure that we got all the right words might meet by conference call two or three times over the course of a month and come up with something that we can use down the road. And it's important because the mission statement it's for us. It's for this organization. But if you go to the website, what's the first thing on the homepage? It's the mission statement. So that's going to be important that we get that right. Okay? And I love all these comments. Tim?
When I drop off some of the other words just to try to see if they hang together, like the rest of the sentence hangs together, to the art and science of plants. I understand the art and science of growing plants, but the art and science of plants, does that make sense when it's spread that way? I understand the art and science of gardens, man-made, and landscapes, but plants aren't man-made. It's about breeding plants.
Mm-hmm.
Growing plants, breeding plants, but there's a missing
problem. Okay. Yes. Plants being art in terms of topiaries and landscapes. Yes?
Maybe the missing word would be application. The application of plants
tied together. Okay. We're capturing all these ideas. And we really are going to need volunteers to work on these work teams. Yeah. So the concept there is to flip it so that the things we're going to use come first, and then the outcome comes at the end.
And,
yeah. So we, you know, when I went to grade school, they would say, you know, the point values of positions in a sentence, you know, so think about that a little bit. But there's a comment over here. Okay, these are all really good ideas. And we're not going to come up, we're not going to come to a consensus right here, but we'll, as we get this organization built up, this will be something that comes through. Tim?
The last thing you want to do, though, is to kill your mission by trying to incorporate everything that everyone.
And that's why this is, you know, we went through, 2 weeks of discussions on, we had an hour conference call every week. And I have to, big shout out to Gail. She lives in Oregon. The conference call started at 9 a.m. Eastern time, so she was getting up real early, and she participated in almost all the calls. So big shout out to Gail. She couldn't be here today. But that's a great point. A mission statement, you want it to be fairly succinct. Otherwise, it becomes, you know, a whole document in and of itself. And so that, as we get into the wordsmithing part of it, that's something that we need to keep in our minds. Okay, so I want to move to the next part, which is the vision. Okay, and a vision is a single 10 to 15 year big audacious goal. It's what the organization's ultimate defines future direction. Okay, and I'm just going to go through these. I pirated this presentation from somebody else, so they thought all that other stuff was really important, but it's what do we want to achieve over the next short period of time? Okay, that's what the vision is. And so the vision will change. The vision really should change every year. Okay, as we get more information and as we become more savvy about what, you know, what are the conditions in the real world, the vision is going to change. And so this is the one, this is the vision that we came up with. And I just want to point out that so Jen Tedeschi is the executive director of the National Gardening Association. They do an annual survey, basically for the industry on buying trends and so forth. And so in 2014, 84 million U.S. households identified as gardeners. Okay, based on the way that their surveys were structured, 84 million households. Okay, if there's only two people in each household, that's a lot of people. And this gets to some of the things that we were talking about earlier. How many of those 84 million households realize that their enjoyment is based on the science and understanding that's developed by this organization here, the ASHS? I would think not very many. So one of the things that we want to try to do is we want to try to educate, as it was pointed out earlier, all of these practitioners that they're connected to us, whether they realize it or not, they're connected to us. Okay? Because as John pointed out, there's two things that politicians care about: money for their campaigns and then votes. And if we've got 84 million households and, you know, they vote on the national average in elections, that's a lot of voters. And it's going to mean something. And so if we can energize those people who we are connected to, even though they don't realize it, that's going to have a positive impact for us. Okay, and that's one of the underlying, motivations here. Okay, so our vision is that the percentage of U.S. households participating in consumer horticulture will increase from 70% in 2014, 84 million households is 70% of all U.S. households, to 90% by 2025. Now that's a percentage. So the number of households is going to increase, and we're trying to increase the percentage. And so it will be way more than 84 million in 2025. Okay? Comments, discussion. Tim.
Really wasn't an outcome of the program, it was just a change in their lifestyle.
So that's a measurement, sort of a measurement issue. How do we measure the impact of the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture in relation to achieving this goal?
And did you affect that behavior change?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Treatment caused the effect.
Right. Yes.
I really liked what you said when you introduced this, but I don't see what you said reflected in this. You're saying, you know, do they know the 70% that are doing it? Do they know it's us? Do they know? Do they understand? So is our vision really to get more people doing it that don't understand, or is it to get them to, you know, let's just, I'm happy if the 70% understand first, but we're worried about getting more.
Well, you know, and so one of the things about vision statements is they have to be measurable, okay? And so going from maybe 10% of the people understanding that we have a relationship, how do you measure that? We're looking for something that we can measure, and the National Gardening Association does this survey every year, so we can measure incremental progress. I'm not saying that your comments aren't. And so I would, you know, I remember as a very young man reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, and he said, you know, it anything that happens to achieve racial equality is good, whether it's violent or nonviolent, everything is good. So even if they don't understand, the fact that they're doing it is going to be good. It's going to help us achieve our mission. So now our, you know, as we go into the goals, we'll look at some of the things we want to do to make sure that understanding exists. But so I'm not saying that you guys are wrong. I'm just explaining our reasoning in putting this mission statement together. It's something that we don't think we can achieve, even though it's only a 20% increase. We figure that all the easy stuff has been done, and these last 30% of the population that's not gardening now, it's going to be hard to convince them to get involved. Okay, so we're going to really have to work. We're going to have to be lucky in order to achieve this, but it's measurable. It's something we can measure. Yes?
So I'm struggling with the actively consuming part of gardening versus the value for plant gardening and landscapes. And I don't see the value so much indicated in this. I think there's always going to be people that don't necessarily actively garden, but we still want them to value our plants, our landscapes and gardens, because that's going to drive resources available to offer things like cover gardens and so forth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just raised that question, do we put that value there?
Well, so again, that's something that If we accept the definition that a vision has to be measurable, how do we measure that people value, you know? And I'm a biologist. I'm not skilled in doing surveys at all. So it's, you know, that would be something that Gary and then Mary.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Gary.
Participating in consumer horticulture. What consists of participating in consumer horticulture? Is that, you know, what's the definition of that? Is it very broadly defined or narrowly defined? Is it somebody who buys an apple, or is it somebody who walks through a garden, or is it somebody who actively grows a plant in their backyard?
Well, and this is something that came up in the discussion later on, but so participating in consumer horticulture might just be going to events at a public garden or an arboretum. They don't necessarily have to be actively engaged in producing the plants themselves, but as long as they're enjoying that whole thing. So that we didn't really get into it, you know, to be honest with you, when we were developing the vision, we didn't really, well, what does it mean to participate? But certainly I think if you look at it in its largest sense, and I don't know that the National Gardening Association survey would get at that, but that's something we'd have to look at measuring. Mm-hmm. Ellen says she likes it wide like that. Mary.
Yeah,
and then,
Mayor, oh. Mayor, Minnesota. So I'm wondering if this is way too narrow, because what this survey focuses on is households. So this is like the home ownership. So we have this other big group of people with other folks in the room to sit on. It's hard to measure, but we really want people that aren't gardening to garden or at least appreciate plants. And Charlie this morning, I mean, he had a figure of, well, look, what were those low figures? 49 and 21? They were really low of people that value. So I think we want a bigger.
Okay. Well, and that's why we're here, right? And so, Mary?
Well, I was just going to say, first of all, Mary Wilson from Michigan State University. We use that 70% figure an awful lot, and we love that NGA did this, and we can just piggyback right on top that because it is so hard to measure the impact of consumer horticulture. So I'm okay with that because, again, we use this a lot. It just kind of dovetails all together from a state and national perspective.
Okay. Bridget?
Yeah, I'm okay with this for a couple of reasons. I think indirectly we get it, this elevation of enjoyment, and I think that as enjoyment elevates, that's going to elevate the value of the industry. I think we've got to increase the awareness of what plants bring to the human person. And really the only way Washington's going to hear about this is sales, economic impact. You know, it's nice that enjoyment is going to be elevated and economic impact can be dragged along with it. And I think this is the most direct way that we can do that. But there are ways to get at those latent constructs of involvement, really, which is that profound and enduring interest.
Okay, great. Okay, so we have lots to chew on there. And again, what I envisioned is that we'll put together a work team around the vision statement. And you know we'll have resources that we can use to facilitate those groups getting together and we can go from there. Tim.
This measure you're relying on the efforts by NGA in their annual effort on their survey. There could be, in addition to that, I mean, there could be other measures that you tap into. So your goal is more of a combination of measures, not just one source.
Right, right. And I want to really emphasize again, this is the draft. This is the first draft, okay? And all we had was the NGA survey. So I read Charles Hall's abstract this morning for that talk he gave, and I said to myself, we have got to recruit this guy. He has to be the leader of a work group. Because he, you know, and I read his newsletter all the time, you know, making sense of the green industry. You know, we got to get him on board. And we have to get his colleagues on board, too, because the economic aspect of this is really important, as Bridget just pointed out. So this is the first draft, and it's going to be, we'll chew it up and spit it out, and there'll be a second draft, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and we'll keep working on it. Okay, so moving forward. Core values, you know, they're defined what an organization stands for, how people should behave, the fundamental and deeply held that they'll seldom change, and they're the glue that bonds the organizational diversity. And so these are the ones that we came up with, and it's kind of hard to read, but diversity and inclusion, all are welcomed and valued, individuals can make a difference. Service, for the common good, research, education, and extension or engagement for positive change, environmental, social, and economic focus, we want to address all aspects of sustainability, innovation and creativity for real world challenges, accountability, demonstrate the ownership necessary to achieve desired results, and then relevant in responding to the needs of and communicating with our clientele. So I'm going to spend some time on these core values. Anybody have a problem with any of the ones that are up there? I mean, this is pretty much, you know, mom, the flag, and apple pie, but, you know, it might be some that bother somebody, and we're here to hear. Bridget?
Where's the enjoyment and success?
So you guys taking notes? That's a great point. You know, that wasn't what we were focused on. I think it's come out of this discussion right here. So the enjoyment is part of the success. So, you know, that's a great point. Other comments? Okay, legacy as a core value. We want to make sure. I kind of see that tied into the sustainability aspect, but we can certainly expand on these. Yes.
I don't understand what you mean by accountability other than the people that don't water their land.
Now, this was actually for us. So if we say yes, I want to be a part of the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture. You are going to attend the conference calls. You are going to do your work assignments. You will do your homework. You will, you know, hand stuff in when it's due. And just you will be engaged in the whole process. So it's our core value. We're going to be accountable. Yes. So, yeah, and I think we'll get to that in the goals as we go forward. But so the question was, is there enough information about the value that, or do we need additional information? And I would say yes and yes. You know, there's stuff that's been done, but there's a lot more that could be done. So that's really good. That's a good point. Anybody else? So we're going to legacy, and was there another one?
Enjoyment.
Yeah, legacy and enjoyment. Okay. So again, going back to our planning horizon, we're at the stage now. As I mentioned, we can't go through the assumptions. We have five areas that we make assumptions in, and there's a bunch of them in each one of those five categories. So please go to the website and look at that. You can contact me directly, tbuick@nifa.usda.gov, or I don't know if the assumptions have a comment box, but maybe that's something. Everything has a comment box. So when you go to the website and you look at the stuff, you can actually type in a comment box there, and that all that information will come back to the steering committee. So what we're going to focus on now are the goals and objectives. A goal is an unbounded statement that describes the condition or attribute that the organization seeks to obtain. So that's the definition that we used in going forward. It's not a description of what the organization does, and they need to pass certain criteria. Are they appropriate? Are they necessary? Are they feasible? And are they sufficient? So that's the framework that we used. And then objectives. They describe what we want to have happen, what would constitute success in observable or measurable terms. So they indicate a direction. It's an increase, expand, decrease, consolidate, all those kind of words that where we can create measurements. And then they have a 3 to 5 year time frame. So they're not, again, it's not something that is always ongoing, but something that is achievable. We're going to, reach that objective and then move on to other objectives. So the first goal that we came up with, and some of this is based on our core values that we had, but the goal is a healthy, connected, strong communities. That's the goal. The objectives were to increase opportunities for community participation in consumer hort, strengthen and promote local resources, regional resources, national resources, and international resources. So it covers a lot. There's no strategies, and I want you to, be cognizant of that there's no strategies there. There's just objectives. How are we going to do that stuff? That's why we need to recruit you guys. How are we going to accomplish those objectives? How are we going to reach that goal? That's where, the rubber hits the road, as they say. And that's where the dirty work begins, is to get down to that level. So comments, questions? I'm just going to check the time here. It's 11:27, so we go until 1:15. And I'm going to keep you here until 1:15, so you better start talking or it's going to get real boring. Yeah, Tim. Okay.
There's a finite number of people. It's not that you're going to be able to exploit and strategies and objectives for achieving any one goal, let alone if you start counting them up. You've got a pretty good guess.
Yeah, it's like 7. Which is, you know, that was something that we had in our discussion was, you know, do we limit the goals? And generally speaking, you know, if you think about putting together a grant proposal, you know, you usually only have one goal and you have maybe 4 objectives. So when we have 7 goals and each one of the goals has multiple objectives. So now, you know, so what we haven't done is prioritization. And that's another big part of the strategic planning process is prioritization. So what are the short-term, medium-term, long-term priorities? What do we need to start immediately? What, you know, would be nice in our envisioned future that we can work on as resources become available? Because remember, we're trying to grow the initiative. We're trying to grow the organization. And so we have this limited group here, but we want that to expand. And so hopefully the opportunity to address more of them will come into focus. But I think your point is well taken. Do we have too many goals would be a fundamental question. And if we do have too many goals, which of the goals or what goals would be, you know, put off for a later time? Well, they could be, but. Right. So we're capturing that.
Taylor, Washington State University. Since some of us didn't have time to look at this before we came, and some people here may not have gotten the thing, would it be helpful for us to at least see what the 7 goals are and then come back?
Okay. Okay, that's a great suggestion. Is everybody okay with doing that? So I'm going to fast forward. So the first goal is healthy, connected, strong communities. The second goal is thriving consumer horticulture economy. Third is consumer horticultural educational opportunities will abound at all stages of life. And that has so many objectives that it has 2 slides. So you can tell the steering committee was real heavy on educating people, and this goes back to some of the comments about the mission statement and so forth. But education is you know, we consider to be very important. Policymakers understand the value of consumer horticulture, and how do we get that? It will be providing them with good evidence but energizing all of those people that participate and maybe don't even know it. Restore, protect, and conserve natural resources through research and education. And that's one of the natural resources I struggle with in my garden all the time. Consumer horticulture will be adopted widely as an effective tool for improving human health and well-being. And then consumer horticulture is adopted by and reflects the needs of an increasingly diverse U.S. population. So those are the goals. We'll go backwards. There's a diversity goal, adopted by and reflects the needs of an increasingly diverse U.S. population. It will be adopted widely as an effective tool for improving human health and well-being. Restore, protect, and conserve natural resources through research and education. Policymakers understand the value of consumer horticulture. Consumer horticultural educational opportunities will abound at all stages of life. A thriving consumer horticulture economy, healthy, connected, strong communities. So given that whirlwind tour of the goals, going back to Tim's point, are there too many? Do we need what do we need to do are there some that could be combined? I see people shaking their heads. Tim, you haven't said anything back there. What's your name?
Jana.
So what do you think? Okay, so just to put you on the spot a little bit, it was a whirlwind tour, but are there goals that you see that could be combined because they're related, strongly related?
I think actually one, two, and three could be combined.
One. So combining those three into one would have to do a lot of wordsmithing on that because there's a lot of words in there. But okay, that's a great suggestion. Gary, you had something that you wanted to say?
No, just to agree to consolidate the goals somehow and wordsmithing too to make the meaning come out a little bit easier.
Okay.
I put this one on the diversity one, so it's all stages.
So combine the educational opportunities with the diversity and embracing the diversity of the consumers. That's a great suggestion. Tim?
Start the vision again and decide what we're going to do to measure the outcome of achieving the vision, and then walk into which ones of these are going to help in that. What does that participating in consumer horticulture mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of love our answers to the question. One thing I think about when I look at these goals is the other people who aren't here would help us achieve these goals. Mm-hmm. So when I think about how we could combine them to be more achievable, I think of them in subject areas, you know, like conserving and protecting natural resources. That allows us to pull in our soil scientists and our water friends. And so that's a work group kind of teaming goal that we could, you know, collect the people who want to achieve. And the same would be true with a healthy lifestyle communities and maybe all the like stages to bring them to treatment. And so I think of people that actually provide the power to get there.
Mm-hmm. Good point. You had something to say.
I don't understand the thriving fortune in our economy and how that would be best defined in terms of what we're doing as educational people or getting people to spend their money. I don't really understand what that. And I don't understand the policymakers. I don't think it's an initiative, but I don't understand what how our goal is with policymakers.
Well, I mean, you know, that I think that comes from my bias. I work for the federal government. I can't do anything unless Congress says that I can, and they hold the purse strings, and so that has a big impact on what how I can be successful in my position as National Program Leader for Horticulture. So if policymakers understand, and I'm sure if you went to Capitol Hill, there's probably 70% of Congress that they have plants in their offices, they garden, they are participants in consumer horticulture, and they don't even know it. So if we can get them to understand, it's going to be really important. First, Bridget, then Ellen.
Yeah, let me address the other piece of her question. We buy products every day that we enjoy, and we don't care to know very much about them. From a consumer research perspective, I am practically interested in them buying more because they enjoy it more, whether they understand it or not. And I am an educator, but whether they understand it or not, that they engage in it, that they enjoy it, and that they come back and repeatedly show that they value it because that's where they're spending their money.
Yes, Ellen.
Last year, Tom said something that really struck me. We absolutely need the business support and policymaker support to increase our access to funding, both in extension and in research. As Tom pointed out, we go to Congress and we say, hey, can we have some more money to do research? And they say, ah, or for active emissions line for money. But if industry goes to Congress and says, hey, can you give them some money so that they can do this for us? That's a different game. But we really want to bring those two components with us, even if it seems a little foreign to our mindset.
And then really, that's what happened with the Specialty Crop Research Initiative. When in 2006, USDA did a series of listening sessions around the country, and the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance had formed in 2003 because they didn't get anything in the 2002 Farm Bill, and they were, you know, really, you know, distraught. And so they created this organization, and so they knew that these listening sessions were coming up, and they made sure that they had three people at every listening session. And those three people said the same thing over and over and over. And when the USDA got all those comments, there was over 8,000 comments on the importance of research, education, and extension for specialty crops. And that's how we got SCRI. It's because not because academics went and complained, you know, or the science community, it was because the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance, which is made up of business, went and said, this is what we need. And so that's, you know, what another, you know, kind of what we're trying to create with the National Initiative for Consumer Horticulture is a group of people that care about what we do and that understand what we do based on the development of this strategic plan. So all of your ideas here today have been really important in making that clear what it is we're trying to get accomplished. Yeah, that's really a great point. No, and it's very important.
And it's not only just with the industry, but I think how each one of our universities.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're. Yes. And so remember, the administrators are me. You know, I could be a dean because, you know, and that's what the administrators are. They're not consumer scientists. They're clod kickers like me. You know, production ag guys. You know, I spend all of my research time out in the field, up to my waist in cranberry water. I mean, you know, so that's where we come from. That's our mindset. And I really appreciate what you say there about the consumer. I had this idea. There's a food challenge every year in D.C., and they challenge congressmen or congresspeople to live on what people live on for food stamps, $29 a week or some crazy thing like that. And so a lot of these people were taking the challenge, and I went to our FNEP liaison, and I said, this would be a great opportunity for us to, you know, show, you know, all about our programs. And I started talking about my ideas, and she's going like, wait a minute, you're not talking about consumers, you're talking about customers. And there's an intrinsic difference between a consumer and a customer. And so that's, I think we need to get to the consumer level and engage with those industries. And so that's what I think this thriving consumer horticulture economy is trying to get to is, and in this picture right here actually is from a place where my son works. It's a little mom and pop. It's been in existence for 120 years. It's a farm supply and nursery. And you know, they exist because they meet the needs of consumers. So we had hands up. Put your hands up again. I'll call in. Yes.
Right plants, the right fruit trees, and the right fruit will grow
in our areas, we will have higher success rates. People will buy more because they stop gardening when everything dies.
Right.
And I think we'll have higher success rates by selling food.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that we really need to go back to the drawing board a little bit. We want not to eliminate goals, but we want to consolidate goals so that there are fewer of them. And one of the things, go ahead, Lucy.
Just clarify for me, what's the advantage of having fewer if they can paint on the same concept?
Just saying that, it just gets harder to read.
A matter of how you want to put the plan together, because you know, just we just are coming off the back of doing a statewide strategic plan for master gardeners in Michigan, and we went through the same discussion, and we finally just ended up having more goals, so it was clearer in people's minds that their issues were being addressed.
Ellen, go ahead.
Well, given that we're interested in interacting with very, very broad stakeholder base, the simpler and clearer the goals are, the better off we'll be.
Maybe there's more of us on each team because we have fewer goals.
Well, that may be too. But I really think in terms of communication, short, simple, direct sentences are the way to go for the general public.
And one of the things that I didn't point out, but it's important to realize about goals, is you don't prioritize goals. They are of equal importance. Okay, so the priority comes within a goal for the objectives, and then within objectives for strategies. Okay, so that prioritization process takes place, you know, downstream a little ways. But so the goals are all of equal importance. And so again, I think what we need to do, sounds like to me, we need to put together a work team around looking at the goals, critically analyzing whether we need to combine some goals, and so there's fewer of them, or whether these goals can stand on their own. And yes, there are a lot of goals, but I guess I would defend that a little bit by saying this is the biggest area of horticulture. This is the biggest area of horticulture. And so there got to be a lot of goals because we're 84 million households. Even if that isn't true, there's still a lot of people, and there's a lot of things that they care about. And so we don't want to be exclusive. I'd rather be overly inclusive, but that's my personal opinion, and so just throw that out there for further comment.
But at the same time, you're trying to create an organization that's going to work at developing programming that will be measured at achieving your stated goals.
Right.
Well, the more things you try to work on, how many hands do you have to work on 35 things, 15 things? Things, success is going to be measured by your impact, and how will you have enough hands to do 35 goals?
Yeah, no, it's, well, we don't have 35 goals, Tim, there's 7, but, so you counted them up, 35 objectives, and you know, that's the challenge, right? There's only so many hours in a week, and we're already working at 150% of capacity, so where are we going to make room for this? But what I would challenge us to do is, this is a small number of people in the grand scheme of things. We need to recruit more people, and we want to have more involvement. We want to get those retailers involved. We actually want to get the producers involved, you know, so that they understand as we move forward. We want to get all of that. We want more involvement. So there will be more people. I mean, it does look daunting right now and very challenging. But you know, we're thinking big here initially. It's a draft. We may say, you know, get 2 weeks into it and go, oh, geez, what were we thinking of, you know, and change.
I see the advantage of having many simply written, simply stated goals because we have many stakeholders. And at first glance at this, it's like Dr. Clark's reaction. I don't know what he said, and I don't know where I belong in this. But if we have many simply written statements, it's easy to say, that's me, I'm a proof person, that's me, I'm a retailer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to identify.
Can everybody hear that? Comments on that? Yes.
I think we've got to get to them through their sales. I think they've got to understand what the consumer sees, perceives, and wants from our industry, and they are so disconnected and oblivious that we've got to connect the dots for them.
Okay. Yes.
Piggybacking on that, I feel that this is the goal, and everything we've seen past that are like venues or ways of achieving that goal. Wonder if we can entertain looking at them that way.
I'm not sure I understood what you just said.
What we see up here is driving consumer horticulture.
Economy.
Yeah, and the industry portion of it. I feel like that's maybe the goal. And I feel like maybe the other slides that we've seen since then are venues or ways of achieving that goal. And I wonder if we might entertain it looking at it that way.
Yes.
I think we need to keep it broader than that. There's so much in consumer horticulture that doesn't have to do with having business and support themselves. You know, gardeners give each other plants. Community gardens and a lot of what we do, seed saving and those sorts of things. So I think this needs clearly to be a part, a big important part of what we're doing, the economic, but I don't think it should drive the whole initiative. I think if we, the goal is to get, as Bridget said, my paraphrasing it wrong, but you know, basically, she wants the industry to survive, well, she wants people to go out and buy things. Because of the pleasure they get, because of the things it does for them. And so I see, you know, that's the overall thing, is what it does for people. And in order to do that successfully, we need the credit industry. But we also need these other things that are parts of it, not like going to a botanic garden. But if you want to know what people value, just look in their checkbook. Seriously.
Well,
if you want to know what they value, that's where you look. And I apologize. I love to engage in more discussion.
Okay, thank you very much for your input. Really appreciate it. So I have comments over here and then in the back.
Mary Smith, Alabama Extension. Not to be crass, but don't all of our activities ultimately affect the economy? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Community gardens do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, that's true. And I think, I don't think that's crass. There's something missing here, it seems to me. But one of the things we talked about with this thriving economy is that production horticulture will not see consumer horticulture as a competitor, because if you're growing vegetables, yeah, okay, you're not going to buy vegetables for as long as, you know, my cucumbers are going great guns, but they're going to die next week, and my family loves cucumbers, so we're going to go out and buy cucumbers because we've had them, we're used to having them. So it creates demand. You know, consumer horticulture creates demand for production horticulture. So that's something it's really important. And you had one.
Well, what if we just took back to the economy, if you had driving consumer horticulture community, would that not encompass a lot of that? I mean, if we have a thriving community, people understand what it is, and we're working for them, would that not kind of encompass a lot of that?
Yeah, it could. But I think this goal actually came from the fact that we have industry folks on the steering committee. So they wanted to be sure that, as Bridget was saying, that there was a goal that pertained to their interests. So Mark Broxson from Proven Winners, and actually the National Gardening Association has a big stake in retail, and that's a lot of their customers, people that buy their survey, are in those realms. And even the big box stores, you know, we don't have any of them right now on our committees, but you know, they're certainly the part of the whole equation. So it really is a little bit separate. It really it's focusing on that aspect of it. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And two other, well, further comments. One is I really appreciate the work that you've all done on this so far. I'm very impressed with what you were able to pull together. Another thing is just a general thing for people to think about who do end up trying to refine the goals is just, you know, keep in mind, you said 3 to 5 years. So lots of goals, but maybe in terms of the objectives, you know, are these really the 3 to 5 years? And of these things are going on
before they end up to me.
But you're the one that I heard it from last year. Here is spokesperson. I think it's really exciting that both of these are going on at the same time, and so we just want to make sure that we're using the synergy between the two really. Again, is there something in our goals that maybe don't need to be there in the 3 to 5 range because the other group has got that as a goal in the 3 to 5 range? And that could be part of what helps us focus on what's most important for us to be doing in the 3 to 5 range.
Those are really good points. And you know, there's a lot of things that I'm not aware of, you know, that's why we need more recruits. We need more people that are part of the initiative so that we can build on that collective knowledge. And so when we do need, there are other initiatives out there. I mean, I know the American Association of Community Gardens has activities that they're working on, and we want to tap into that and be part of that. Or have them be part of us. It might be that we, you know, by working with this larger group, they can find benefits. So I think that's part of the growth of the organization as we move forward. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right, so let's see what I have after the goal. We've talked about goals. We haven't really talked about objectives. And I don't know, check the time here. It's noon. We have an hour. So there's no way that we could get through all the objectives under each one of the goals. So again, what I wanted to point out, and I think this is actually my last slide. So the steering committee, again, like I said, we started our weekly meetings in April, and we had this you know, idea. Our target was that we would have the plan ready by the end of June, and so we missed that by about 3 weeks, which is pretty good, not bad. You know, we really quite a bit of work, and we had work groups that went off and worked on different things. So we've got to the goals and objectives part of it. Now, as I pointed out, one of the reasons to have this workshop here, I've been an ASHS member since 1983, and I see ASHS as having, you know, a fantastic capacity. There's a lot of really great ideas that, you know, half of them have left the room already, but there's still a lot of great ideas in the room. And so we're trying to get you energized around being involved in the national initiative. It's really important that we get everybody, you know, and so our first take, my comfort level is working with you guys. Okay, so if I can get you to be part of it, now you have all your connections, and you will help expand my connections, and we'll bring more and more people into this organization. So, you know, hopefully you put your name and email address here on this paper, and you can bet I'll be contacting you next week, you know. But we want to organize teams around, you know, the mission statement. We want to organize a team around the vision statement. We want to organize teams around the goals and look at them critically and say, and because remember, it's a draft. If I had to, I tried, you know, in PowerPoint, you cannot put draft across your slides. It's not doable. You can do it in Word, but you can't do it in PowerPoint. So I wasn't able to do that, but I want to keep emphasizing that this is a draft. Things will change. Things should change. Okay, and so we need to have membership that's going to be engaged and accountable. If you say you're going to do it, you got to do it. We haven't talked about it, but like I pointed out, we have capacity to do this remotely. We don't have to meet in person. We can meet, you know, through various virtual format, which is what we did. We met by conference call, and Lucy provided the collaborative blackboard or whiteboard, and they have that at Georgia with Ellen. And so we have different ways that we can meet, you know, remotely and or virtually, I think is the new term. You can tell I'm way back, you know, in the dark ages of technology. Ellen made fun of me yesterday. I asked her to load my presentation, you know, onto the thing. She said, well, couldn't you do it, you old white guy? You know, it's like, I said, no. Well, I could, you know, but it would take me a lot longer than it would you, you know, so. But anyway, so that's you know, where we're going with this. And we've already started planning another workshop. We're going to have a national workshop in Washington, D.C., the 3rd and 4th of, or 4th and 5th of November, is that right, Margaret?
I can't remember what we decided.
Yeah, it's the first week in November. It's Tuesday and Wednesday of that first week in November. It's going to be at the National Arboretum where Margaret works. And the 3rd and 4th, okay? So we would like all of you to attend. And we'll try to make it so that you can attend remotely. That is, you know, I participated in a workshop on Thursday and Friday last week where I was in D.C. and they were in Davis, California. You know, it was a lot like watching paint dry from my perspective, but I did participate and they said they really valued my input. But there's no way of really knowing. They might have been, you know. But anyway. Yes. Okay.
Sure, so it was pointed out that I'm sure everyone in the room did not sign up on it. Because yeah. We only got 25 names on that.
And she, I saw her going around and counting, so yeah.
Which I'm going to pack again and pack it around. And
if you don't get on this side, if they got partway back on this side and then started going all the way
Yeah, and we'll, you know, we'll send out some emails to the working group so that if the people that were here and weren't able to sign up, we'll definitely, the recruitment process is just like this draft plan. It's always in flux. We really do need participation. It won't happen unless we make it happen. And so we want to, one of the goals for this. For this national workshop that we're going to have is we want to identify groups that should be there. So like the Community Gardens Association, the Garden Writers of America, you know, all these kinds of people that can participate and can contribute to our overall mission and vision. And so that's another thing as you're thinking about this, you know, on your trip home, who should be at that workshop? And again, Ellen and Lucy and myself, we've kind of been herding the cats a little bit. So emails to us, and Ellen, we can get out an email to the working groups.
If we can't now, you will be able to by tomorrow. Oh, can we get out to the working groups?
Sure.
We can go right through the AISHS.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Lucy will be in charge of that next year.
Okay. And I just want to, again, big shout out to Lucy. 2 days ago, she kicked Ellen out of the room because she was so sick that she couldn't even get out of bed. And here she is taking notes. So thank you, Lucy. Great job. And she's now a little rosy color on her cheeks again, finally. So that's where we're going. We're going to have this national workshop. If you want to be involved in planning that, that would be great. It's a big deal to plan something like that. We do have the venue is the National Arboretum, and there's a really beautiful facility there that ARS will provide for us at no cost because it's related to their mission. And so we've gotten on their calendar, and I want to thank Margaret for spearheading that. That's been very important for us. Your leadership, the administrators, are aware that this is happening. They're not always happy that it's happening because they say, well, you know, we just started our own strategic planning process. Why didn't you tell us before? Well, hey, you know, you should be strategically planning, you know. That doesn't preclude us from doing this. But they know that this is going on, and I've been trying to convince the upper administration of the importance of this, so hopefully they'll be able to provide some funding for travel if you don't have it. Deans and directors.
And how would they have heard about it?
I told them about it.
So what about share?
I had planned to go to the administrator's breakfast. I think it was yesterday, but I missed it. So I had to go to something else. But I'll get to it.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. It, greasing the skids, that's part of it.
I told my chair about this last year, and he said, you're wasting your time.
Oh, is that right?
He said, how can you? And I said, I'm pushing to get here at the very beginning with Donna talking. If I'm going to try to get him to listen to these, parts of these things, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really an important, when groups come to me and they say, what can we do to help you, move your program forward, move our programs forward? I say, well, when you come to D.C., don't waste your time coming to my office because I have absolutely no influence on the outcomes. I said, go talk to my boss, go talk to her boss, go talk to his boss, go talk to her boss, who's the Secretary of Agriculture. Go visit your representatives, because that's where decisions are made, that's where things get done. So I understand that. And I'm a national program leader, so I have a modicum, a smidgen of influence with university administrators. But I will start to wield that influence. Yes.
And there needs to be this recognition that administration isn't just horticulture administration. A lot of us have come from departments that have been merged with agronomy, and this is seen very much as a competition. So they're kind of fearful of horticulture. So there's so many obstacles that we have, within our own departments and within our own colleges.
Yeah.
Evaluation tools that we can take back to our states, collect data, and give to all of the administrators who,
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it's the fact that horticulture is small potatoes amongst big corn and soybeans and big ag. We're fighting the state.
And where are you?
South Dakota.
South Dakota, yeah.
We're minuscule industry compared to
right.
Big ag.
But one of the things, I did a departmental review at South Dakota State, it was a while ago. But I was incredulous that South Dakota is an urbanizing state. Even though it's, miles and miles of soybean, it's an urbanizing state. There's only, 200,000 people or 300,000? You got 700,000. They have more senators than congressmen in South Dakota. And Nebraska and some of the other states. Some of those others were relatively small population.
So we try to get across to our administrators that you're catering to big ag and you're looking at a minuscule number of people when you've got all the rest of the people in the state that this is what they're interested in.
Yeah, right.
During corn and soybeans, it's the fact that they have a garden, they've got trees in the lawn, and they can hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Well, it's because in a past life they were clod kickers just like me, and so it doesn't really resonate with them. And that's part of the education piece that we've got to get across is, people, remember that's what it said, people will realize the benefit. And it's not, people are people, right? I know administrators are soulless, heartless people, but they're still people, And I used to be an administrator, so I can say that, because I was soulless and heartless. But yes.
One of the things that we keep talking about with our administrators at Michigan State University Extension is the sheer numbers of people that we contact,
mm-hmm.
and the number of voters
right.
that we contact. And we find that in counties, especially where they're going for a village for extension, they want, extension administration wants to have consumer horticulture programming in those counties in particular. So they got to recognize the value, from a voting perspective
mm-hmm.
and, monetary perspective. But we also had a change in leadership recently, which is helpful.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think Michigan is maybe a unique circumstance. I know, where I live, that the impact of of those voters is not appreciated. So I think that's really on an area by area basis, if that, you know, how that plays out. But
and that's not all administrators.
Oh yeah, right.
That's huge.
Yeah.
We're
yeah. Okay, so you know, I think I've given my little stump speech. We need involvement. We need you to be part of the initiative, because you know you're the expertise. So become a member of a planning team. Visit the website. There's a place to provide comments for each one of the elements. So do that. And then participate in this fall workshop that we're going to have. We don't have a lot of money right now. We're going to try. I mean, and we don't have really that much time. November's going to be here before you know it. So I think our overall strategy would be, we've had this steering committee. We've had this very focused workshop to get more people involved. We're going to have this national workshop, and one of the reasons to have it in D.C. is that all of these organizations have an office there. So the garden writers and the community gardens, and they all have offices in D.C. And get on a shuttle, you can get out to the Arboretum. It's not that big of a deal. So we can engage a pretty good cross-section of people right there in the nation's capital. So, but then the idea would be that we would have another workshop, even trying to grow it more, and maybe do that one in Kansas City or Denver, some hub that's easy to get to, not on the East Coast, but you know, in a sort of a neutral time zone, if you want to say. And I've done that in the past. You know, Chicago. It used to be easy to get in and out of Chicago. Not anymore. You know, I hate going through Chicago now. But that's an example, because they have conference facilities right at the airport. You never even get down to the loop. You know, you're stuck out there at O'Hare. So those are some of the ideas moving forward. So, focus workshop, we'll expand that, then we'll expand it even more. And like I said, we're trying to create this organization that's moving forward. Did you have a comment, Lucy?
I was just going to ask, Helen, would it be possible for Richie to put on the website a way for people to sign up? Like,
yes.
We set up, like, here's the teams that are going to work on this, and people could sign up. Would it be possible for people, for us to have a place for people to add ideas for other organizations to invite? Rather than people sending emails to you and to me and to Tom,
do
it, we could aggregate all right there. And
well, we'll take the emails too. But yeah, that's a great idea. That we'll have that, because now, you know, consumerhort.org, that's our website. Okay, visit it. You know, frequently, and take advantage of that. And also, all that's on there right now is the strategic plan. You know, when I said, well, Ellen, can you get this strategic plan on the website? She said, well, that's not going to look very attractive. And I'm going like, I'm not thinking about attractive right now. We just need to get that available to people before the workshop. But we want to make that an attractive website, that when people go there, that, you know, there's, you know, what, so if you have ideas of what the content should look like, please share those too. And Richie is a really great resource. He was the one that helped get my face during the interview last year at the workshop. And I understand even Lucy wasn't in the room, so she's interviewing me, and neither one of us are here. You know, it's pretty interesting. So, final comments or questions before we sign off? I do want to thank you. You've been engaged, and we've gotten a lot of really good feedback and critical but positive, and that's how you build consensus, is to be honest and open. And we'll get back, Lucy. Another.
Yeah, just one more thing. The August national. That's my brain is not engaged. Coordinator webinar is going to be focused on this topic. So if you would encourage the Metro Garner coordinators in your state to participate in that webinar, that would be another great way for us to get a lot of people to weigh in and share their
input. That's at 1 Central, right? Is that right?
So you're coming up.
2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, noon Mountain, 11 Pacific. And it's a monthly thing that the Master Gardener coordinators do. And so this month's going to be, or next month, no, this month, it's going to be Lucy going, you know, talking about the plan. And we, you know, those county master gardeners, those county coordinators, the state coordinators, those are all people that we want to get involved, in addition to the other academics that work in consumer horticulture that aren't necessarily part of the master gardener group. So I know that in some states they're the same person, in other states they're different, but we want to engage that whole community in this because they're the ones that have the contacts with those people that we're trying to influence. So that's going to be real important. Yes?
Are you inviting
Yeah, so I mean that's something to put, you know, send me an email because I'm, you know, when I walk through those doors, I'm going to forget that. That's what happens when you get all these. I was saying the other day, each one of these gray hairs means about 45 brain cells that have died, you know. So I'm happy that I have hair, but I'm not happy that I can't remember.
The message you guys can give us specific contact information, that'll be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a name and an email and a phone number.
Yeah. But state, so the state green industry councils or whatever, the
yeah, we have like a Utah Nursery and Landscape Association, you know, that has industry people and extension people on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty strong, and you know, nobody from that committee seems like it's been dragged into this. But yeah, we're all working on the same things, and so it really mirrors what I've been working on. So I'm glad to find it.
Great, great. And we will invite American Horticulture, it used to be American Nursery Landscape Association, we'll invite them as well. Closing thoughts, comments? Okay, well I guess I'm not going to make you sit here until 1:15. It's you get an hour of your life back. How about that? Go out and do good. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.